Good morning and you're very welcome to the programme. Today, Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald on reopening creches and whether the IRA's campaign was justified. The European Aviation Safety Agency responds to Ryanair's claim that it's now safe to fly. When the looting starts, the shooting starts. Donald Trump's warning to people protesting the death of a black man in police custody. We go live to the States. The sun is shining. Get your barbecues fired up. Doreena Allen and JP McMahon are here with some sizzling recipes for the weekend. And our Friday gathering will be here to run the rule over the big issues of the week. We'll have all that and lots more to come between now and 12. And if you'd like to contact the programme, you can text us 51551. You can tweet at Today Radio RTE, or you can email todayradio@rte.ie. Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sarah.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
We're expecting an announcement on childcare after the Cabinet meeting later today, and I know that you're writing in the Daily Mail this morning that in your view, the government should commit to paying the wage bill of childcare workers until the end of the year. Do you have any idea how much that would cost?
I do, Sarah. It would cost €380 million. Currently, childcare workers obviously are covered by the wage subsidy scheme, but then their wages, and they're a low-paid sector, as you know, Sarah. Their wages then are topped up by the department. The department also pays another amount of money to providers just to cover ongoing and unavoidable costs. Again, they're not huge amounts of money. It's approximately 15% of the payroll, but these payments were absolutely necessary as the economy and services were closed and went to sleep. And now, as we face the challenge of reopening and easing all of the restrictions and getting people back to work, getting our children back into routine and so on, we need to look very, very carefully at what kind of supports the childcare workers, the sector, are going to need. And I know that parents now are very, very concerned for a number of reasons. Firstly, the concern as to whether or not they'd be able to access a childcare place for their children. Secondly, if they can, will they be facing a further hike in cost, in fees? Because as we know, even before the COVID crisis came upon us, that people were struggling with childcare costs. I mean, it's the equivalent of a second mortgage. There's concerns for providers. It's very unclear what precisely the requirements will be in terms of public health protections, what that's going to mean by way of additional equipment and space, and what effect that's going to have on capacity. And then throw into the mix, Sarah, the unfortunate confusion now around whether or if there will be full reopenings of schools in September. And of course, you have a very, very concerning scenario. So there has to be a huge engagement with the sector. I don't think that's happened so far. And I think we need to find every way to facilitate the reopening of early education to ensure that childcare workers have jobs to go back to, the okay. parents have spaces. So I think a good first step is to say very clearly that the state will continue to cover childcare workers for the next 28 weeks. In other words, up to the end of the year.
Okay, so that would cost €380 million. You also raised the question there about a potential hike in fees for parents.
Yes. Is
that something the government should also do, pay more towards the cost of fees?
Well, the point that I'm making, Sarah, is that by continuing to cover the cost, the wages of childcare workers, obviously the return for that would be no hike, no increase in childcare fees. I mean, they estimate that payroll or childcare wages account for something between 70% and 85% of a childcare provider's costs. So I'm making the point that in a scenario where childcare providers will be told that because of the public health measures that they will have to adhere to, that their capacity is going to be reduced. They're, in other words, not going to be able to take in as many children. That seems the likely outcome. In that scenario, we have to be sure that parents aren't hit in the pocket.
Okay.
We also are unsure, sir. I don't know, and I can't answer the question for you now, but it needs to be answered and answered soon. what precisely will be the model recommended by government and what precisely will the guidelines look like? In other words, how extreme, how drastic will the measures that childcare providers and workers will have to take?
And when do
we don't know that yet.
Sinn Féin doesn't have any plan for that either, I assume.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, you'll have seen the survey from the Federation of Childcare Providers, and I was very alarmed to see not the level of concern in the sector, because I knew that, but when asked what has been the guidance from the department so far, they said, well, it's been nothing. And that bothers me. I mean, I'm not the minister, obviously, but I certainly think that the system needs to engage very carefully and listen very carefully.
Sure, but I know you also said in your piece today that you have been in touch with a lot of these childcare providers. You've been speaking to them. The government, you say, maybe hasn't been consulting with them that much. But I'm just wondering, has Sinn Féin figured out any plan to square this circle in terms of getting childcare back up and running again?
Well, I've identified what I think is the first necessary step, and that's to give certainty to providers, to childcare workers and to parents, that the wage bill will continue to be covered by the state until the end of the year. That assures the 27,000 childcare workers, the 4,000 ancillary workers, that they have jobs to go back to, that their income won't be cut off.
And you also,
it assures providers
that they will have that relief, and parents. You've also mentioned parents, and you say you don't want them to have to suffer financial loss if they have to stay at home and look after children. And in your piece today, you're saying they must be supported through income supports. Can you tell me what income supports you're thinking of, and how much would you be budgeting if you were in government for those income supports?
Well, I as you know, parents of under 12s have an entitlement to 22 weeks of parental leave. It's unpaid. I think the government needs to now seriously consider extending a payment, a pandemic payment for that parental leave. I don't have a costing for that, Sarah. I wouldn't be in a position to give you a costing for that this morning. But it strikes me that in circumstances where there is reduced capacity in childcare for whatever period of time, we have to assist families through that, to get through that scenario. I very much hope that it would be short term. I think if we are all thoughtful and if we tread carefully, cautiously, but decisively through the exit plan, I think these can be short-term challenges, but it's a very real challenge. I mean, no parent should lose their income stream and be left high and dry because they can't get back to work
and nobody wants to see that happen. But we're obviously all, as a society, in a very difficult situation. So you don't know how many parents would be asking to qualify for that, because we don't know at this stage how many parents
would have to. But it would be demand-led.
Exactly. Yeah, so we don't know at this stage how many parents would have to stay at home with their children. You don't know how much you'd be paying them either. Would it be in around the dole payment? Would it be in around the COVID-19 pandemic payment?
Well, I think the pandemic level, the established level now is €350. That seems to be the benchmark. I think the whole political system has agreed that that's the benchmark that is required to subsidise and just to assist people through very difficult circumstances.
How would all this be funded then, Mary Lou? Because we've already got a couple of texts into 51551 listening to Mary Lou MacDonald here. Wonder, do Sinn Féin have a secret money tree? Another person saying, Mary Lou is correct. If we plant more money trees, everyone will be happy. Sinn Féin want everyone to be happy in some future utopia. You know, this charge, I think it's in some of the papers as well today, that Sinn Féin just throws money at it. Our money.
Yeah, our money. All of us as taxpayers. Whoever is in government, the reality is that there will have to be support for families, for service providers, for business, for enterprise. That's the case across this island. It's the case across the continent. That's why the ECB has intervened. That's why the European Commission has intervened with very substantial sums of money.
Where you get that money, that €380 million for childcare workers, and the unknown sum of money to pay parents who have to stay home for childcare?
It'll be funded through. As a state, we're going to have to borrow. I mean, there's nobody disputing that case. And by the way, I refute absolutely this notion that anybody's proposing a money tree. That's not the case. I'm stating the bald fact that because of this health emergency, as a matter of last resort, the state correctly, the government correctly, had to close the economy and society down. We now have to reopen matters. Okay. And that means that we have to continue with supports. And you will find, Sarah, that as and when others come forward with their proposals, they are also going to cost money. And I will not accuse them of growing a money tree. Oh, I absolutely accept that we have to fund these things. And bear in mind, it's okay, citizens'
Mary Lou,
money.
If you don't mind, I'd like
money.
To move on, because sure. There's a few things I'd like to get to this morning. On Brexit, there's news in the papers today. Simon Coveney is going to be talking to Cabinet about preparations for a no-deal Brexit again. When was the last time you or Michelle O'Neill spoke to senior figures in the British government on Brexit?
Well, Michelle would have ongoing contact, obviously, with the Secretary of State. I've been in touch with Boris Johnson, well, in correspondence, I should say, about a week and a half ago. I'm seeking out a meeting with him. Whether or not he'll facilitate that and when that might happen, I don't as of yet know. But our contact with the British system is ongoing, obviously, because of their presence in the north and the fact that we are in government in the executive.
And do you expect they will ask for an extension next month?
It's not looking that way, and we're very, very concerned about that, and we have made them aware of that. I think the fact that COVID struck the international community, our island and theirs, I think should move them to a common sense position that an extension is absolutely necessary, but they're not minded in that direction thus far. I think Michel Barnier got it right when he said that the British, on the one hand, want to slow negotiations down and on the other hand, won't countenance an extension. That's a very dangerous position. I would say that that's a dangerous position for them and for their economy and for their society. And it's also obviously a very dangerous position for Ireland. So Sinn Féin in Belfast and in Dublin will continue to be in contact and dialogue and to apply pressure to the British government. You'll also know that obviously there's conversations between the various devolved institutions in Belfast, in Scotland, okay, and in Wales. And everybody's concerned on this point. And anybody with an ounce of common sense realises that an extension is absolutely necessary for okay. all of our welfare.
I want to ask you about your Sunday Independent interview last weekend. You said a couple of things in that interview. One of them was that you feel that the IRA campaign was justified, their campaign of violence. Now, that upset a lot of people, as I'm sure you know, people whose family members were killed by the IRA. I won't go through all of the various people who voiced their upset about it this week, but just to go to one of them, Gary Murray, his 13-year-old sister was killed in the Shankill bombing in 1993. Do you really think it was justified to kill a 13-year-old child?
No, absolutely not. And that's not the point that I was making, Sarah. In the article, I actually reflected on the fact also that I've met many, many victims from across the board, including people who were hurt and harmed and bereaved by the IRA. So my absolute sympathy goes out to every single one of those people right across society. The point that I was making is this, and the conversation obviously was with the Sunday Independent, not a newspaper that would be any great fan of mine or of Sinn Féin. I would have liked our interview to be about the future, but of course, because the war is over and so on, but they asked about the past. And I made this point that in circumstances where a whole section of society had no prospect of jobs, houses, votes, in circumstances where you had internment, you had pogroms, you had plastic bullets, you had all of that. I didn't live that. That was not my reality. I wasn't faced with that. And I made the simple point that any person faced with that scenario might have become embroiled in it and might well have volunteered to the IRA. That's the point that I made. And I think it's a point not made to cause distress or to hurt to the very many.
Have we lost Mary Lou? Which would be a pity, because there's a couple of more questions we certainly wanted to ask her. Mary Lou, we have you, I think.
Try and get her back.
Okay, I think we'll try and get Mary Lou back. We'll take a quick break.
Email todayradio@rte.ie.
And we have Mary Lou MacDonald back on the line. And sorry about that, Mary Lou. Thanks for coming back to us. I just want to be clear on what you're saying there, because I understand that you're saying you think it was justified for people to join the IRA given the circumstances of the political context at the time. But they joined the IRA knowing that the IRA was involved in armed conflict. So are you not saying then that armed conflict was justified, killing people was justified?
Well, look, anybody volunteering obviously knew that, and that wasn't just the case in the 60s or 70s, that was the case in the 1920s as well. I mean, it's not my job or my role in life to be out justifying anything except to say, to justify my own analysis and my own position in terms of Irish life and of building a better future for all of us.
Okay, so in your opinion and in your analysis, was it justified for the IRA to kill people?
It was justified, I believe, to take on the British state.
In whatever way possible.
Here's the reality. When a conflict commences, it becomes almost self-sustaining. That's why it's so difficult to stop. So I'm not justifying every action at all. And I absolutely understand the horror and the pain that was visited on people. And it's my absolute determination to make sure as a society that we learn from that and that we never go back.
What actions do you justify then? Do you justify any of the bombings? Do you justify any of the killings?
Sarah, that's not my role. And I'm not going down that road. That, with respect, is a circular argument that gets us nowhere. I have said that it is my strong view that given what happened in the northern state after partition for decades, for generations, sadly, depressingly, conflict was inevitable. The good news is that we have stopped it collectively. The good news is that we now have a sustainable peace process. The good news is that we can look to the future together with confidence. And I accept part of that, a central part of that, for all victims across all communities, has to be to ensure that they are afforded recognition and respect. That's the job. That's my job. That's my role in all of this.
We see David Kelly, who was 9 when his father was killed by the IRA in 1983. He read your article or your interview on Sunday, and he didn't feel respected by what you said. He said he felt re-traumatised.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, and that certainly was not my intention at all.
Just a final question on this, Mary Lou, because I do understand that you want to, or you don't want to dwell too much on the past. But I suppose the problem for people is if you're putting yourself forward as a potential Taoiseach, they want to know where you stand on issues like this, very fundamental issues. You told the Sunday Independent that there's every chance you'd have joined the IRA back then. Does that mean you'd have taken up armed conflict?
That's a what-if question that was pursued with me. I mean, what if I had been around in 1913? What if I had been around in 1916? I mean, I'm an Irish Republican. I believe in the right to the people, all of the people of this Ireland, to self-determination, to freedom. I also happen to think that we're more than capable of self-government. I think that the partition of our country is wrong.
Mary Lou MacDonald, would you have taken up armed conflict?
Well, Sarah, I am in the very, very lucky position that I never had to make that choice or take that decision. I can tell you this
much. Is that not an easy question to answer? Should that not be an easy no for somebody who is purporting to be Taoiseach or wants to be Taoiseach of this country, that no, I wouldn't have picked up a gun or planted a bomb?
Well, I'll give you a more straightforward forward answer, Sarah. At no stage have I picked up a gun, handled a gun, or hurt any other human being. So that wasn't an issue for me in my life. I was asked a speculative question, and I am making the point that people act through the circumstances in which they find themselves. That's the human reality.
But you see, I think a lot of people in this country know what answer they would give that question. They would say, no, I wouldn't pick up a gun.
I wouldn't get involved
in armed conflict. So it is a speculative question, but I am not getting a yes or a no answer from you on a speculative question. Most people would be able to give me a yes or a no answer on that, I think.
And I think most people in this country also realise that there were former Taoiseach who lived different circumstances than me who were members of the IRA.
All right.
So, you know, this isn't this. We can speculate from here to kingdom come. I have lived the life that I have lived. Irish history is Irish history. We have to understand it in its totality, and we have to understand why people in given circumstances take the decisions that they take, because that, Sarah, is the key that unlocks conflict and that ensures that we consolidate and build the peace.
All right. Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.